As I said this morning, we have our guest speaker who will be joining us, and I'll be calling him up in a minute, but he's going to be preaching from Psalm 145. And I'll be reading it to you from the New Testament, I mean from the NIV, not from the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Psalm 145 says, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all he has compassion on, all that he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." Amen. Well, at this point, I'd like to call up Edward Shigali. And Shigali, as I've known him, I've never known him as Edward, because we went to Bible college together for a while, didn't we?
Yes.
And he works for Mennonite Central Committee, British Columbia, as a refugee sponsorship and assistant. And with him today is Melissa Giles, and she's the program director for that. And Shigali, you're messing me up with this Edward thing. And Melissa will be available in the foyer after the service to talk about the program and all that they have to offer. But Shigali, we are blessed to have you here this morning. And also want to let you know, Shigali has been instrumental in helping us with our own refugee family. And so he's worked with our sponsorship team and stuff. So not only are you here to speak to us and bless us this morning, but you have been helping us along the journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Dave. Good morning. It's good to see everyone out. It's an early morning for some of us. I live way in Abbotsford. You need a visa to go there. My name is Edward Shigali, and sorry, Dave, that was in the last millennium when I was known as Edward, or Shigali, should say. But I've always gone by my last name. I grew up in Kenya, and there you are just part of the family. You're Shigali's son, you know, and so that's how I grew up, with my last name. You know, nobody really bothered what my first name was. And I came to Canada about 20 years ago. My wife and I moved to Canada, and everybody was insisting on a first name. And so eventually I learned to use Edward as well. So that's why Dave is so, you know, confused, because when we went to Bible college, I went by my last name. But I'm happy to be back. I've been here before a few times, And as I should say, I'm married to one wife, and we have three young children. An African man always has to be specific about marriage. So my wife and kids are back at our home church, Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Abbotsford. And I am excited to be here, accompanied by our program director, Melissa Giles. She not only oversees the migration and resettlement program, but many other local programs, including the New Foundations program, which your church is graciously partnering with MCC out of this building here. And so not only are we thankful on behalf of MCCBC, we are delighted when we come here because we feel like we are on home ground. We feel like we are going home where people know us, people know what MCC is all about, and people are partnering with us individually as well as collectively as a church. And so on behalf of MCC, I would like to say thank you first and foremost, and to pray that we continue to work together to partner as we respond to God's call. I think it was in the spring of 2016 that I accompanied our executive director, Wayne Bremner. He was speaking in this service that day. And after the church service, we all proceeded upstairs where we had a very good lunch, I remember. And after which many of you joined us in another room up there. We were talking about the possibility of sponsoring a refugee family. And I remember, as many of you may remember, we were just trying to think. At that time, people were asking questions. People were saying, okay, how much do we need? What do we have to do? What are the expectations? Where should that family come from? How many? And all these questions were, you know, going on in people's minds, and they wanted information. And Wayne and I came and talked about those things. And I remember that in that discussion, we were all just thinking about helping one family. We were talking about maybe four people, maybe just three people, you know. We have many other programs after all as a church. All our resources are going to those. What can we really, really do? And to make the long story short, you did move ahead as a church, and you did sponsor a family. And it's almost a year, maybe more than a year, the family has been here in the community with you. But if you look back and think at how limited we were in that meeting as we talked about refugee sponsorship, and how we were thinking of maybe we can help just one family. When you look back to that meeting and that time, you realize we were thinking as human beings. We were seeing the little that we can do from MCC point of view, from your point of view. But God was at work much more than we imagined. Because while we were thinking of the one family, God was up and about and seeing what difference our stepping into this would make. He was seeing not just the one family that we were going to sponsor, but he was seeing the extended family that has become part of that sponsorship for some of you who are involved in the sponsorship. He was seeing the other family that has also become part of that. He was seeing the community. He was seeing the outreach. He was seeing all the work that we couldn't see in that room upstairs as we thought about sponsoring just one person. Because God was at work much more than we could imagine even that day. And I remember that same day, Pastor David Isau had invited a man from the community who had come to this church at some point looking for information, asking for help about his family that was displaced back, you know, in the Middle East. He was from Iraq, and he was talking to the church and asking about how to go about helping his family. And that gentleman was in that meeting, looking very frightened, not sure whether he was in the right place, for those who remember, but asking the questions. He had a burden on his heart about his family, who were now displaced in Jordan. And out of that meeting and that discussion and the information he found and following up with us later at our office in Abbotsford, out of that came another partnership that ended up helping his family to come from Jordan in the last month and a half, who are now here, sponsored by another church in Maple Ridge. Because as we went on talking about him and about his request and his search for help and information and partnership, another church took up that. And that came out of that initial, you know, thinking, what can we do? And that invitation by Pastor Dave, he said he didn't have any help. He didn't know what he could do. But come and join us at our information session. So as you look back, you can realize that God has transformed and multiplied the church's response to the refugee crisis. He is multiplied into a wonderful kingdom work. Work to be considered thoughtfully. When you look back and stand back and realize it wasn't our work after all. We were just participating in God's work. We were just playing our part. And when you stand back and consider this thoughtfully, you begin to realize that we are participating in something. And when we step forward, God uses that offering we bring to him and transforms that into a mighty work. A mighty work that is to be celebrated and to be told to others. Why? So that all people may know of his power for good. See, we first have to recognize, first and foremost, that providing refuge to those who are displaced is kingdom work. Running around, raising funds, running around looking for transportation, running around looking for housing, running around looking for help for somebody you've never met is kingdom work. We must contextualize it that way. It is God who calls you, the believer, and the collective body of Christ to participate in his ministry. And he uses us to accomplish what the psalmist, as Dave read earlier, what the psalmist calls wonderful and awesome works of God. What he called mighty and great deeds. What the psalmist calls abundant goodness, gracious, rich love and compassion to all that God has made. Not just to us believers, but to all that God has made. Because when we step out, we didn't step out to help just the Christian families. We didn't step out to help just the Syrians. We didn't step out to help just the Congolese. No, we stepped out and said, we just want to sponsor a family. And the need was high in one place. So when the psalmist we read earlier talks about praising God, extolling God, he is talking about these things. Now, in the Old Testament, we may think they were talking about, you know, when they were victorious in war. Sometimes when we look through the Old Testament, what comes to mind is, you know, how the nation of Israel viewed God, you know, because he helped them defeat the Canaanites and the Midianites and all that. But when you read through what the psalmist is saying, you look for hints of what are the reasons we are to extol God. And he talks in verse 8 about the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So you begin to see that we can clearly see this through the eyes of Christ. We can have a Christocentric look back into the Old Testament, into what the psalmist is praising about, and realize that through Christ's eyes, we can see that he is talking about the goodness of God, abundant goodness, about the compassion that God has for all he has made, including the displaced Muslim family, the displaced Sikh family, the displaced Pakistani family in Thailand, the displaced Congolese family in Uganda. You can go on and on, because our times, the refugee crisis is one of the most defining issues of our times. And as believers, we cannot fail to be involved in what is going on in our world today. So consider this, that in the same way that you responded as a church, hundreds, many more churches responded in similar manner all over BC and through organizations like MCC and many others. They went on to heed the call to help other families. Partnerships arose between different churches, churches who said, "We are a small church. We can't quite support a whole family." And another church came alongside and said, "We can do it together." When MCC brought a family that was too big for one church in mission, they looked around, they spoke to other churches. And two or three other churches came together and said, "How about we do it together as a group of churches?" Same happened in Salmon Arm. Same is happening in Maple Ridge. Same has happened in Nanaimo on the island, in Abbotsford. Partnerships happening. When we step into that, we start as one individual who goes to the church and talks to the pastor, talks to the elders, talks to friends. And that becomes the whole church eventually, and that church becomes a group of churches. And together, as a denomination or whatever we want to call ourselves, we end up doing mighty acts, great things. And when we step back and consider it thoughtfully, we realize it's not us. It's God at work, much more than we can imagine, multiplying and transforming our offering into mighty acts. I want to tell you about a few experiences of sponsorship from a sponsor's point of view. A teacher in Surrey heard about the crisis for refugees and decided he was going to do something. He looked around, somebody says, "Well, we know about this organization called MCC. Maybe you should ask them." He came to our office and talked to us, said, "What can I do as an individual?" And he found guidance on forming a group, on what he needed to do, and help with the settlement plan, what to expect and all that. And he went back, and in a few weeks, he had put his friends and teachers together, and they had raised enough money to look into sponsorship. He started alone and said he wanted to do something. Or a group of retirees in Abbotsford that said, "We want to do something. What can we do?" And our office said, "You know, it's easy to sponsor a young family of four people, or five, or six, because people in church, they think about mom and dad and two children, three children. We found a match for that." But our office said to this group of retirees, "How about you consider sponsoring these individual men on this list that have difficulty finding a sponsor?" And a group of retirees said, "Well, we'll take on the challenge." And they went ahead and sponsored five Eritrean men into Abbotsford, who came to Abbotsford after a few months, and settled in Abbotsford. They got work, and they became independent. They didn't need any money from the government, and they are still there now, living their lives. A group of retirees who should be in the Bahamas having fun decided maybe we can do something. How about a young student at a university who said, "I would like to do something. What can I do?" And he went, after finding out all the information what he required, got a friend and two more, and they got together. And as students, you know how creative they become with social media and all that. They became a big organization. And lo and behold, within about 6 months, they had a Congolese family arrive into Langley. I went with them to the airport to pick this family up. And the man said, you know, I was told by the United Nations High Commission, so United Nations High Commission for Refugees, about a year ago, that I would be sponsored or I'll be taken to Canada. But I didn't hear anything from them until 4 days ago. They told me on a Thursday, you're leaving on Sunday. Get ready. You're going to Canada. And we went to pick them up. And the question he asked this young man in the van as we drove back was, how old are you? And your friends, you're just young people. And the guy was, yeah, I'm a student, you know, and they're all students. How could you do such a wonderful thing to sponsor me, my wife, and our three children from Africa to Canada? How could you do it? And I was translating, and I felt bad that I couldn't translate the wonderment and you know, just the emotion that was coming out of this question he was asking. And coming from his point of view, he couldn't understand how university students, who should have no money, should have nothing, how they could come up with a plan and actually make it work for this family to come and be resettled here and start a new life. He wondered if their parents gave them money. He wondered if they have a loan. He wondered. He had so many questions. In fact, at the end of the conversation, he said, we have to talk some more because I want to understand. But he was very grateful on behalf of himself, his wife, and children, because he said he had lived as a displaced person for 5 years, not knowing what the future brings. And now he believed his future now had a purpose. And he said, I want to become a Canadian. If I have to raise chickens to become a Canadian, please show me how to do it. Of course, there are many others who decided to channel their resources to the need on the ground wherever the people are displaced. Maybe some of you decide to do that. Maybe as a church, you do that as well. And if you go to the back later on, you'll see some information about the work that is done through the support that we get from churches out there. Because as much as we see the need is so big here, the need is actually much, much bigger over there. And if we didn't know God, if we were not people of faith, we would despair. We would say, so what if we only help one family or two families here? There's millions and millions displaced. But we shouldn't forget it's kingdom work. It is not our work. Whenever we reach out, whether it is in this community or in the province or internationally, we should not forget it is not our work. We are only participating in God's work. We play our role in our small corner in Coquitlam, but it adds up, and God takes that and multiplies it and transforms that into mighty works, into awesome work, into great deeds. So the psalmist says that I will celebrate and commend your works to other people. And at MCC, we like to celebrate as well. You know, we celebrate that through refugee work, through sponsorship, that we are able to see openings of windows into our sanctuaries, into our innermost places, that the newcomers who come into our communities are able to have a glimpse of our innermost sanctuaries. I have been to churches, services, or meetings at churches where people of a different faith, people who would have no reason to walk into a church, are sitting, having a meeting with a pastor and talking about how can we help somebody. Ordinarily, these are people who would never probably step into Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship. I have been here twice to meet with a Muslim family, to talk about sponsorship, and to see them walk in and, you know, feel welcome and talk about something with me and with Pastor Dave and other people, to see us opening up our innermost sanctuaries to people who need to know Christ. What an opportunity. We talk about outreach. That's one area of outreach. So we celebrate that God is opening up those windows for the people to see, people who would otherwise not know what drives you and what drives me. We celebrate that. Sometimes we get together, we are invited to an end-year party for a family that has been here for a year, and I'm waiting for an invitation from Eagle Ridge Sponsorship to come and participate in the meal. As we celebrate the end of the year, I'll bring a certificate for the church and for the family. But we like to attend those because we are celebrating not what we are doing, but what God is doing. And we want every sponsored family, we want to step out of the way so that they can know that we do this in the name of Christ. Because that is why we do it. And when we celebrate, we give a chance to say, God helped us do this. One of the things that really, really touches my heart is when we go visiting a family of newcomers and a sponsor comes and a sponsor sits across the table and says, you know, my family, my grandparents were sponsored and they came to Canada running away from the war. That's the moment I always sit back and say, I don't have to say anything. Because those who have that history in their past can say it themselves better than I can ever do it. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that in that instance alone, this sponsor can say, God helped us. God helped my family in the past. And whether it's a person across the table who doesn't know Christ, who is not a, you know, who's not related in any way to Christian, but they get to hear that it's God's work that we are doing. We celebrate that. But one more thing that I see that God wants us to recognize and God wants us to think about is that in the same way as the psalmist says, if you read that psalm, you will see time and again he talks about the telling of what God has done. Talks about the proclamation of what God has done. That we must tell, we must provide an opportunity for people to hear what God is doing. And if we consider what God is doing thoughtfully and think about the small that has been multiplied and transformed into a big and mighty work, when we can thoughtfully think about that and celebrate that, and then tell other people about what God is doing, people will know that He is a good God. People will know that He is a compassionate God. People will know that He is a gracious God, rich in love. But we must tell the story. We must tell of the mighty work of God, because this is the defining issue for us. In this last few years, this has become an issue for us. And as we think about what God is doing, we need to tell. So if you know people, if you are a student, if you work somewhere, if you're part of a group, if you're part of a social group, this must be told, because God has done more, much more than we imagined. Let's not be quiet about what God is doing. Let's not be afraid or ashamed. Let's consider these things thoughtfully and recognize it's God's work, that we are celebrating God's work, so that when we tell it, we are out of the way. We are telling about what God is doing. It is difficult to tell if we are telling about what we are doing. We soon become embarrassed and ashamed, and we find the wrong words to use. But if we are talking about what God is doing, that's what the psalmist is extolling in this. Let all the people praise his name, and all the people proclaim the mighty wonders of what God is doing. I think in the same way that many people of the Mennonite history have in their past displacement and have come up and told the stories, it's in the same way that we at MCC are trying to tell that story. And that's why I'm telling you stories of refugee work, because that story has to be told. And I'll come to an end telling two stories. One of an Armenian woman displaced from her country of Syria and living with her family in Lebanon. This woman heard about a little organization in Toronto that was doing the same kind of work that MCC does with refugee sponsorship work. She talked to them. They told her, yeah, we'll try and tell people in Canada, and maybe someday somebody will see your name somewhere. And she was told, but don't really think it's going to happen right away. And it might not happen, but we'll send your name anyways. But this woman went back and told all her relatives, told all her friends about this possibility. And she told all of them, and they all wrote to this organization in Toronto and told them about their plight. And this organization in Toronto is one of our partners at MCC. And they told us a little bit about them. And our office said, well, when we are allocated some space by the government, we could also help them. And to cut a long story short, this number of families ended up getting sponsorship by churches and groups here in Canada. And they all have arrived in the last year or so. I don't know why I keep wanting to go down here. They all have arrived in the last year or so, except one person, the lady that told them about the opportunity. She's still in Lebanon. She has a sponsor in Canada. But for some reason, we don't know how God works, she hasn't arrived yet. We know she's going to arrive in the next little while, but she'll be the last person to arrive. Yet, she was the first to hear about the opportunity and to look into it. She went and told all these people, and they are here. They tell her story when we visit. They tell about this all the time, and they ask about her. And I can't wait in the next little while when she arrives to go, and they are planning to get together when she arrives so that they can talk about it and celebrate. And I will be telling that story. And this story of a young man from the Congo who was displaced and living in Uganda. Sorry, in Tanzania. And his family was displaced. He witnessed his mom being shot in their own house, and his brother who was trying to defend them. And as a young teenage boy, he ran away, and they all separated. And he went to, following some families, he went to Tanzania, then he went to Zimbabwe, then he went to South Africa, then he went back to Zimbabwe looking for a place. And then he was somehow registered by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees in Zimbabwe. And after 13 years of being displaced and living without a future, he was marched through our office with a sponsor. I picked him up from the airport, and he was telling his amazing story of how long he had been, that he hadn't seen his family. He didn't know where they were, most of them, but he was here now. And in the last few months, he's managed to reconnect with some of his family. He has a hope. He's gone back to school. He's finishing his high school, and he wants to be an electrician. He moved in to his own little apartment a few weeks ago. I asked him, what would you say to the churches that are sponsoring refugees? He said, I would say thank you, and please sponsor more people. There's a lot who need to be helped to resettle somewhere and to start a new life. I end on that note because we have done a lot, and God has multiplied what we've done and transformed that into mighty works. But I know also that there's a lot more that needs to happen. That does not mean you have to go and sponsor another family right away. No. But it just means that we have to continue to consider these things thoughtfully. We have to continue to celebrate what God is doing. And we have to continue to tell what God is doing. There are many others who just don't know that they can help. And that's our call, to continue to tell the story of what God is doing with displaced families, with resettlement, and with resources for those who are still on the ground, who will never be settled anywhere else, because only 1 out of 100 actually gets resettled into a third country. Most people really live in their asylum countries. They don't get resettled. And so organizations like you, people like you, people like us, still continue to help wherever they are. And it's us to think thoughtfully, to celebrate what God is doing, to tell what God is doing, that others may know not only of God's goodness, but of His ability to transform, to multiply what we are offering into great deeds, mighty works, so that everyone may come to the knowledge of His goodness, have a glimpse into God's inner sanctuary, into God's people, into the values that we hold. Have a glimpse into Christ's love. Let's pray. God, I thank You. I thank You that I stand on holy ground. I thank You that I stand in front of a congregation that is involved in Your work in many ways. I thank You for their love for one another. I thank You for them sharing hope and for strengthening faith amongst themselves, for opening their door to the community. I thank You for transforming and multiplying what they have offered into a mighty work. I glorify You, God. I tell of Your story. I tell of the mighty works that You're doing. Lord, I pray that You'll open our eyes. I pray that You'll open each and every person's eyes in this room to start to see even more of what You're doing, to have a glimpse into the glorious riches, into the great love and compassion that You have for all You have made. And in them light a burning fire to reach out in their community, to reach out in their places of work, to reach out in their schools, in their social settings, to tell of what You are doing. That God, in so doing, that they may provide an opportunity and that Your work around the world and in the local community will be transformed and multiplied so that all may come to the knowledge of Your abundant goodness. We pray this, believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen.